So Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 21. At the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, this is Mary and Joseph, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, you are now letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts for many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak to him of all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. So for Denise and I, we like to watch movies, and we like to rewatch movies, but this time of year, Christmas time, might be the time during the year when we watch more films we've already seen than we do at any other time of the year. And a lot of families, a lot of you here probably have this kind of tradition of watching favorite Christmas films as Christmas gets closer. And there's all kinds of reasons for this tradition. It's fun, it's festive, maybe it brings back childhood memories. It's probably not because these are objectively good films. Now, some of them are good, like A Muppet Christmas Carol or It's a Wonderful Life. There's others, like Jim Carrey's Grinch, which maybe isn't that great of a film, even though it is a classic. Elf. There's probably room for debate on how good that film is or not, but if nothing else, Elf is silly, and it's fun, and it's extremely quotable. Now, we don't watch these films because we're looking for something new and different, right? One thing that all these Christmas films have in common is that we already know how they're going to end. So if we know how the film is going to end, why is it that we watch it? Well, I think part of the reason we watch these films is because these are stories of trials and redemption. We know how the story ends, and that's why we watch them. Because even though there's no surprise ending, or there's no twist that's going to take us unaware, we enjoy the emotions and the thrill of watching our favorite characters go through their trials, the roller coaster of emotions, and then we have their final redemption at the end. See, Buddy the Elf, he finds his family, and he's accepted for who he is. The Grinch, he learns forgiveness, he learns to love, he learns to receive love. Ebenezer Scrooge is convicted of lifelong love of money and self-centeredness, and he becomes other-focused, outward-focused. He becomes generous, and he cares for the people around him. George Bailey becomes grateful for his wife, his children, his family, his life that he has, and rather than wishing for a different life that he doesn't have, he learns to be content where he is. When we watch these films and see these characters' stories, their trials, and we see the characters end in redemption, it gives us hope for the future. Sometimes we're convicted when we watch a character with the same flaws that we see in ourselves, and then we can be inspired when we watch this character overcome difficulty or make a life change in a way that we'd also like to change our own lives. See, I always see a bit of myself in Ebenezer Scrooge. I see in him some of how I am now, and I also see in him things that I fear. Things that I fear about myself, about how I could be if it wasn't for Christ in my life. So when at the end of the film, Scrooge is a changed person, it inspires me and reminds me I too can change. So A Muppet Christmas Carol gives me hope. Now, every year, we also look at the Christmas story, the story of Jesus' birth. We know how the story ends, so why do we revisit the story year after year? In part, we do this to remember, and in part, we do this to celebrate. We celebrate Jesus' birth, we celebrate Jesus' death, we celebrate Jesus' resurrection, and we celebrate the salvation we have that is made possible by Jesus. And we celebrate as we look forward into the future. See, there's a sense in which we know how the story of Jesus ends, and then there's a sense that we don't. So we know what Jesus has done for us so far. We know what Jesus accomplishes in his first coming, and we know some of what Jesus will do in his second coming, but there's a lot about his second coming we don't know. But what we do know is that he's coming back. And this is what we celebrate. The hope of Jesus' return and the hope of our future with him in heaven for eternity. So we can ask ourselves, where is your hope this Christmas? Is your hope in your future with Christ? In this passage in Luke chapter 2, we read about Simeon. There's a man in Jerusalem. His name is Simeon. He is righteous and devout, and he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. This man, Simeon, righteous and devout, is waiting for the consolation of Israel, and this means he's waiting for God to bring peace to Israel, and he's waiting for God's Messiah. And he's been told something. He's been told by the Holy Spirit that he will not die before he sees the Messiah. And then he's at the temple, and here come Joseph, Mary, the baby Jesus. They are walking into the temple, and then we have this kind of Lion King moment where Simeon walks up to Mary and Joseph, takes the baby Jesus, and he says, "Lord, you are now letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, according to what you revealed to me. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." So Simeon, has been looking for the Messiah. He's been looking for the Savior of Israel, and now his hope is fulfilled in this baby. Lord, I have seen your salvation, your Messiah, as you told me that I would, this Messiah who is our Savior. So in baby Jesus, Simeon's hope is fulfilled. And when we talk about hope, there's two kinds of hope, right, that we can mean. When we use the word hope, there's two things we can mean. There's the hope of something we desire, but we're not really expecting it to come about. For example, I hope Denise gets me a pony for Christmas. This hope is like a wish, right? Now, I don't actually want a pony for Christmas, but this hope is like a wish where I desire something, but I'm not sure that it's really going to happen, or it may be highly unlikely to happen. Then there's biblical hope. And this is the kind of hope that we read about with Simeon. This is a hope of confident expectation. What we say when we talk about it here is we say that this is desire plus expectation. And this is where there's something that I desire and I expect it to happen. So Simeon's hope is this biblical hope. He's been waiting for the consolation of Israel, and he has been told he will see the Messiah with his own eyes. Now in this story, Simeon has two sources of hope. And by sources, I mean like sources of information. He's been told something that he believes. So the one mentioned here in Luke 2 is this revelation from the Holy Spirit that he will see the Messiah. And then the other source isn't specifically mentioned, but it's implied. This other source is the Old Testament, or what we call the Old Testament. See, the Old Testament is filled with prophecy about the Messiah, starting all the way back in Genesis 3. Eve has her misplaced hope in tasting the fruit in order to become like God, and then God tells her that in the future, from Eve will come a man that will crush the head of the serpent, Satan. So from that point on, all the way back in Genesis 3, until about 400 years before Jesus, which is where the Old Testament ends, the prophets are looking forward to the Messiah and prophesying of his coming. So this consolation of Israel that we read about in verse 25, this is Simeon, this consolation that Simeon is waiting for, this is referring to a prophecy of Isaiah from about 600 years before. And this is in Isaiah 40, verse 1 is, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her. Her warfare is ended. Her iniquity is pardoned. She has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, 'In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up. Every hill and mountain will be made low. The uneven ground will become level and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken.'" So Simeon knows these prophecies, and he believes God. He believes that when God says he's going to bring comfort to Israel, he's going to bring comfort to Israel. When God says he's going to bring peace to Israel, he believes God is going to bring peace to Israel. He believes there will be one day no more war. He believes that one day Israel's sins will be pardoned. Chaos will turn to order, and God's glory will fill the whole earth. Simeon believes these things are going to happen, as it says there at the end in verse 5, "For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." He desires these things, and he expects these things to happen. And when he sees the baby Jesus, Simeon knows all these things that God said he was going to do are as good as accomplished. Okay. At the beginning of this month, on December the 2nd, Denise and I had the privilege of becoming citizens of Ireland. So we're very happy about that. Okay. Thank you. Okay, so we went down to Killarney. We attended a citizenship ceremony. Probably some of you have done this yourself, and there's many of you who haven't because you're born here. And the citizenship ceremony was really cool. We were in an auditorium filled with people. There was probably between 700 and 800 people, and we were all becoming citizens at the same time. And for Denise and I, becoming citizens was a big deal because on our visa that we're here under for, you know, being a minister of religion, we can only be here for 6 years. And then we either have to go home or we have to become citizens. And so for us to be able to stay, we had to become citizens. And so this was a really big deal for us. And we're really, really happy that it happened. And it was a long road to get here. But there's other people that Irish citizenship is a much bigger deal for. See, I am a white, American, middle-class, suburban-dwelling person. I have not had major trials in my life. I've had the kind of trials that are common to everybody, where a relative dies, or maybe a financial hardship. But when we were at this ceremony, there's people from all over the world becoming citizens at the same time as us. But there's people coming from situations in countries that are not very nice. Nothing. It's not like an American becoming an Irish citizen in a way. It's just going from one nice place to another nice place. But there are people that were there. Imagine what it means if you're a Syrian refugee or a Kurdish refugee. You don't even have a country to call home. And you come to Ireland and you become a citizen. The speaker, I don't remember her name. She was a judge somewhere. I guess she just got assigned. You're going to go speak at this ceremony. She told us some interesting things, though. She was talking about the citizenship. And in Irish, the word for citizen is Sir Anach. I think I got it. Okay. Yes? All right. Thanks, ladies. Okay. And Park. So Sir Anach. And what that means, like, it means citizen, but it doesn't really mean citizen. It means free people. Or free men, or one who is free, when you translate it literally from Irish into English. And so she was explaining to us that now that we are citizens, we are free people of Ireland. And again, going back to this, you know, the Syrian refugee coming out of a place where terrible, terrible things are happening, coming to Ireland, imagine the hope of becoming a free person of Ireland. So it was a big deal for me, and it was a big deal for Denise. But we were very conscious that there were other people there coming from very bad situations. And think of the hope, not just of getting the citizenship, but leading up to it. They were in the queue, they had completed the paperwork, they're waiting around to hear, and they know it's going to happen. And this is their hope. This is their hope of a new life coming to Ireland. Now, we all live in Ireland. And if you have experienced certain things, you might be a bit cynical about Ireland. You might be dissatisfied with the government, the health system, There's things here that are not perfect. And so on one hand, to place for a person coming from a bad place, or even just someone like Denise or myself that just wants to stay here, we can put our hope in this. We know it's going to happen because we've completed the paperwork. But if this is where our ultimate hope lies, we're going to be disappointed, right? So where is our hope? See, in Simeon's time, the Jews are looking for the Messiah. This is a generalization. In general, they're looking for the Messiah, but they're looking in the wrong places, and they have the wrong expectations. Many were looking for a political leader or a military leader who would lead Israel from Roman occupation into freedom, a return to the glory days of old. Jesus isn't this Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah who takes upon himself the sin of the world, saving all who call upon him, not only the Jews, but all of us. Jesus is a Messiah that is much better than what anyone imagined or hoped for. Jesus is the better hope. So today, here in Galway in 2024, as Christians who call upon the name of Jesus, we can also find ourselves putting our hope in something other than Jesus. Now, we wouldn't necessarily explain it that way in words, that I'm putting my hope in fill in the blank. But we put our hope in things like the government or politics. We put our hope in money or self-sufficiency. And we wouldn't describe it that way, but when we look at our actions and we look at our heart desires, we see that this is true. Jesus is the better hope. So like Simeon, our hope is in Christ. As Christians, our hope is in Christ, not a wrong conception of Christ where Jesus is the Messiah as we wish he would be, but Jesus is the Savior of the world. Our hope is in Christ, not in politics, not in our families, not in our education or our careers. All these things will let us down eventually. So today, like Simeon in his time, Jesus is the better hope than anything that I can imagine. Last week, Jason talked about how Jesus is the light of the world. And he said, the light of the world has come to us in order that we might have life, that we might know life, and that we might be conduits of life to those around us. And this life in Jesus is the better hope that we hope in. When we are saved, we are made new in this world, and we have new life in Christ now, and everlasting life in the world to come. And so this is what it means that Jesus is the better hope. So I'm going to shift slightly away from Luke and going to talk about Hebrews a little bit. So there's a transition. Later in the coming year, after we finished with Genesis, we're going to be going through the book of Hebrews. And I've been reading Hebrews on my own now to kind of get a head start. And there's something that I find really, really encouraging as I've been reading over the last few weeks. There's something really encouraging that I would like to share with you. So one of the big ideas in Hebrews is the superiority of Jesus. So throughout the letter, the author is arguing that Jesus is superior to a list of things. He's superior to the angels. Jesus is superior to Moses. Jesus is superior to the priests in the temple. Jesus is superior to the sacrifices on the altar. And Jesus is superior to the covenant with Moses. See, Jews have many different laws, customs, and rules, and regulations that they follow. Sacrifices to offer, priests to offer the sacrifices, and prophets to hear from God. But now, Jesus has come, and all these things are obsolete. We don't offer sacrifices because Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. We don't need the old covenant because in Jesus we have the new covenant. Everything Jesus offers is better. Jesus is the better hope than all the hopes that have come before him and all the hopes that come after him. When Jesus came to earth, he didn't free Israel from Roman rule and bring Israel back to her golden age, because Jesus brought a new kingdom, a better kingdom, an eternal kingdom. And this is what has been so encouraging to me in Hebrews. And this is in Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 18. And here at the beginning of this passage, the author is speaking of Moses when Moses is receiving the law on the mountain, on Mount Sinai. So he writes, For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. At that time, his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The phrase once more indicates the removal of things that are shaken, that is, things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. So here in this warning that comes at the end of Hebrews against turning away from Jesus, we read that Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant. And this is the new covenant that was prophesied by Jeremiah back in Jeremiah 31, where he writes, the days are coming when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day that I brought them, took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. And further down he says that no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. And Jesus brings this new covenant into being. This covenant that we are under, those of us that are in Christ, this is what it means that the sprinkled blood speaks a better word than the blood of Abel, because Abel's blood cries out for vengeance, but Jesus' blood brings forgiveness. In Hebrews 12, we read that we receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. This is the city that has foundations whose designer and builder is God. This is the heavenly Jerusalem, and this is our final destination, eternity with the Father, the Son, the Spirit. And this is what we look forward to, and this is what gives us hope. Jesus is the better hope. Simeon is waiting And he is looking for the Messiah. He's waiting for Jesus in his first coming to earth. And now, 2,000 years later, we are here. And we're waiting and we're looking for Jesus for his second coming. So I wanted to share this with you today because I found this passage in Hebrews, I found this very, very encouraging to me this Christmas season. And when I read this passage and I reflect on who Jesus is and what he has done and what he will do, it gives me hope. And as it says here in verse 28, it leads me into worship with reverence and awe. I hope it does for you too. Happy Christmas. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the hope that you have given us in Christ, hope of forgiveness of sins, the hope of being with you, of being reconciled to you, that we can have relationship with you. You've given us the hope that we will be with you one day forever. Lord, I pray that you would remind us of this throughout the week and as we celebrate Jesus' birth, that you would use this as something to reflect on about who you are and about what you have done for us, how much you love us. These things we pray in your name. Amen.